Het is over dat was spoken to Nebuchadnezzar. And it is in Daniel chapter 4. And verse 26. And he says that and wherever they command to do, leave the stump on the tree of roots. Thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou have known that the heavens do rules. And this word, something about this word have really been stirring my spirit for last week, because I think it's about all things. It's about all things what is going on in the world. The heavens do rules. And it's all about our day. When we wake up in the morning and go through our day, the heaven do rules. There is a ruling ship in heaven that is in control. He's reminding us on that he is in charge. And whatever is happening in the world, whatever is coming before you, he is at his throne. And we can unite together at his throne in this moment, in this day. We have access to be in Christ in the throne of God into this day. And to not only know that the heaven is ruling, but to rule with it. We rest with him and we rule with him. And this is a day that we have to make up our mind. Do we want to be in the rulership, or do we not want to be? Because we have had through all these ages, we have had the priesthood. But now the kingship is also coming. The authority of the king is coming to us, coming into reality, and we are going to be able to be the royal priesthood. It means king and the priest together, two forces that is going to unite it. So the heaven is ruling, but it's ruling also in our heart, in our life. So that is our citizenship this hour, brethren. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank
Praise
you,
God.
Daniel, for that. That's a good word for all of us. Lord, I pray that we take this to heart, Lord, that indeed you are ruling and you lead us and you keep us, Lord. You rule from on high. For each of us, Lord. And we are in agreement with this word, with your word, Lord. In
Yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
name, amen.
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 Amen. Well, Brother Jim, why don't you just go ahead and take liberty and bring us what's on your heart? We want to just ask the Lord to give him unction, give him anointing, and bring forth the word that the Spirit has for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Okay. I would like to introduce my brother Pierre. He is a fellow believer in the Lord, and you might want to unmute your phone, Pierre. Okay, very good. Thank you. And I just want him to say a greeting. And he's a believer in the Lord. He's from Haiti, and he's living now in this country in my hometown. And he is involved in the work of the Lord to save souls in Haiti. Amen, Pierre. We want to see souls saved there.
Amen.
And so I just want you to just greet the saints, and if when you're done greeting, send a little greeting in French. because we have some that may be on that speak French. Okay? So go ahead and just greet the saints, Pierre.
Good morning. May the Lord bless you. My name is Pierre, and I am from Haiti. I am in full-time ministry in Haiti, and last October, I moved to the United States with my family for a period of time because we have a lot of gang violence, and gangs are threatening our property where we are doing ministries. And we felt like we've been praying, and we felt like the Lord was telling us to take a break on the mission field and come to the United States for a little bit of time before we go back. And I am very blessed to have met Pastor James, and I am glad to be here and worship with you today. And thank you, Mr. James, for the invitation, for the work that God is doing. And God always uses the remnant, because you don't know if there are believers online. We always think, when we don't see people go to a physical building, we don't think they are worshiping, but God is using this for his glory. Thank you so much. Et pour ceux qui parlent français, bonjour, je suis Pierre. Je viens de Haïti, je suis haïtien et je travaille en Haïti dans le ministère, et maintenant j'habite aux États-Unis avec ma famille à cause d'une crise politique qui est très très dangereuse en Haïti. Donc je suis ici et je suis content, et c'est une bénédiction pour moi d'être parmi vous et pour adorer le Seigneur, pour lui donner l'orange. Merci. Que Dieu vous bénisse.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
And we all say, oui, oui.
Oui.
Okay, you can mute now, Pierre. And I just praise God for the work of the Spirit in the body of Christ, and for what I praise God for this meeting, this gathering, and I just want to praise God for the Spirit this morning. Daniel introduced the message that I have on my heart, and Pierre confirmed it with talking about the remnant. So let us get into the word. I'd like to start out, I want you to turn to Psalms 14. And Howard, if you're looking for a title to the message, I'll give you a title here in chapter 14. And go down to verse 5. There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. God is in the generation of the righteous. I want you to see this with me. God is in it. God has a generation of the righteous, and God is in that generation. So when did the generation begin? You know, how long is a generation? Well, I can tell you, I know Mark has had this question too for all these years. How long is a generation? Is it 40 years? Is it 60 years? Is it 80 years? You know, I can tell you that the generation is 6,000 years. because it has taken from Adam to the second Adam, Christ, to produce the generation of the righteous. And in every generation, Pierre, God had his remnant. And so I want us to look at the generation of the righteous, because God is in the generation of the righteous. So we're hopefully going to go from Genesis to Revelation. So let us start in Genesis. And I believe it's chapter 2. And yes, okay. Genesis chapter 2, begin with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he created and made. Now, verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, plural. The generations. Now, when we think of generation, now, Mark and Larry and I are in the same generation, a few years difference, but we're in the same generation. When we think of a generation, that's what we think of. People that are around our age that we grew up with, and etc. But God ordained that there would be a generation, a righteous generation, in every generation of man, from Adam, and then we move along, of course, up to Enoch, and then we come up to Noah, and on and on, and through every generation, God ordained that there would be a righteous remnant, a righteous generation. Now, what God, let's go way out there, and what did God want from man and out of man? God wanted, because if you look at this in verse 4, it says the generations of the heavens and the earth. So what God desires, what God is after, is he wants that which is in the heaven to come together with that which is on the earth, and that which on the which is on the earth would come up to the measure of that which is in the heavens. Now, to this time and up to this point, the desire of God for the earth, the generation of the earth, to match the generation of heaven, it has not come to completion. It has not come to fullness. as we know, we all agree, we have not come to that fullness. But in every generation, God laid a stone. Because remember, and I'm going to repeat this, and I'm going to keep repeating this, God is in the generation of the righteous. And the generation of the righteous is 6,000 years from the beginning until the end, until God has his finished, completed man, completed in Christ. And so the heavens are working. If I could take a little liberty and say that the generations of the righteous that are in heaven now are working with the generations of the sons of God coming forth on earth, that we are working together, and God is working to bring forth the completed man, which will be the fulfillment of the righteous generation. So the heavens do rule, brother. The heavens do rule, and they have ruled, and God has always ruled the earth, and God has always had his remnant, and God has always overshadowed his remnant. So let's get into a little bit here. Let's look at some of the, okay, while we're here, let's go to Psalms chapter 90. I have a lot to cover, and I don't know that we will make it, but we will, by the grace of God, get an understanding of what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to the church in this hour. Psalms 90, by the way, 90, is the only psalm written by Moses. This is a psalm of Moses. And if you have that at the heading of your Bible, it is correct. It was indeed a psalm of Moses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling, or our refuge, our dwelling place. In what? All generations. Now, does your Bible say that? All generations. God has been the refuge, the dwelling place of the generation of the righteous. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is the generations of the heavens and the earth. So now think about this. When, let's just take our dear brother Enoch, for instance. When Enoch passed on to glory, and incidentally, Enoch took his body, and when he passed on to glory, he was a part of the generation of the righteous that now joined the righteous generation in heaven. Because remember, we're talking about the generations of the heavens and the earth. So when Enoch passed on, he joined the righteous generation in the heavens. And now Enoch is working with the generation of the righteous here on earth. Because we know, and you're familiar with the scripture, that we are encompassed round about with a cloud of witnesses, with the righteous generation that's in the heaven. And incidentally, the righteous generation that is in the heavenlies now is groaning. Amen. They're groaning. They're waiting. They're desiring for this last generation of the sons of God to come forth in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when that last generation comes together in that likeness of Christ, in that stature of Christ, then God will have his completed man, and it will be the last generation. So just let's step aside here a little bit and go to Matthew chapter 1. And I want to say that I appreciate an email that I got from Brother Howard, and he confirmed some thoughts that I was having about what we're talking about today. So thank you, Brother Howard, for that. And Matthew. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It's the generation of what? It's the generation of the righteous. And who is the righteous? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. It's his generation. And if you read down here, you will see that in every generation, God had his man. He had his remnant here. He had his chosen that he worked with. And what was it? The generations of the heavens working with the generations on earth. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this, brethren? I don't know. I'm sorry, but I get excited over. I was up in the middle of the night shouting. I hope I didn't wake Sister Joanne. I get excited over this word. I get excited over what God is doing. It excites me to know that I have a little part to play in this generation of the righteous, in my generation. And I'm so glad that this word came to me. Brethren, at some time today, I want you to just to thank God. Thank God that this word came to you and that you were called to this word, because God has a special word that he grants, a special anointing to a special people for a special time to do a special work, because we are called to be the generation of the righteous. Hallelujah. So let me continue. Book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he goes down to let us know that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, was in all of these generations. He was in every generation, just like Moses told us back in Psalms 90. that in every generation, from everlasting to everlasting, God, you were in that generation. So, all the generations, we go down to verse 40. Excuse me. We go down to verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations. From the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And we know that if we count the generations, there are supposed to be 42 generations, but if you count to Jesus, it is 41. If you count to Jesus, then to Christ, Christ becomes the 42nd generation. And that's where we get the word on the 42nd generation. But the important thing to know here is generation, and incidentally, you who have your Greek interlinear, you check me out on this. If you go to the word in Genesis there, or excuse me, I keep saying Genesis, in Matthew, we're in Matthew, Matthew 1:1, and you click on that word, it's number 1078 in the Strong's. If you click on that word, generation, what is the word you come up with? You come up with the word Genesis. It's the Genesis. What is he talking about? Now, did somebody do that? Did you click on that word? It's the word 1078, Genesis, in the Greek, that tells us that this is the lineage, the ancestry, the progeny. Now, Genesis, just for our understanding, Genesis is where we get our genes. Genetic DNA. It comes from our beginnings, and it has come down through our genetics, genetic makeup, our progeny. Now, behind this generation, Christ is and was in every generation. Jesus Christ manifested himself. I mean, we have to get a hold of that. When the angel of the Lord met Joshua when he went into the land, who do we think the angel of the Lord was? It had to be Christ Jesus. When Abraham made the sacrifice and the angel of the Lord, it was Jesus Christ. So you see what we're saying? God is in the generation of the righteous, and God is building in every generation. God had his righteous remnant. And that righteous remnant laid a stone for the next generation to lay upon. And the next, and the next. Do you see what we're saying? Christ was in every generation. And what is the desire that God is after. The completed Christ in a completed man, a completed body. That Christ would be complete in his people and we complete, complete, complete in him. Amen. So Christ is in every generation to bring forth the righteous generation that will be the last generation. So let's personalize this a little bit. Let's make it personal for each one of us. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. And okay, let's start. Well, let me pick up the thought in verse 1. I want to get down further, but let's pick up the thought here. First Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the world, the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house. Now remember, we go back to Genesis and we know that there are the generations of both the heavens and the earth. This is a spiritual house. And in every, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm sorry. I'm a little excited about this. Verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built upon up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. So you see, the building block for the coming forth into the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ, that Christ is the cornerstone in every generation. And do you see, brethren? We are lively stones, and every generation was, God had his lively stones, which laid a stone that the next generation built upon. Keep going here. Stay with me, brethren. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Be careful. Verse 9. When you see a verse that starts out with but. But means look closely at what I'm saying here. I've got something very important I want to tell you. We are not those that are disallowed. But, verse 9, you, You, brother, you, sister, you are a chosen what? Generation? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, which a peculiar means a set apart people, sanctified, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You are a part of God's generation of the righteous. And if I could make a very bold statement here, I believe that we are a part of the last generation that shall see the coming forth of Christ in his fullness, in all of his glory. I believe, because, well, let me gather my thoughts here. Let's go to Ephesians. Now, you know, before we leave there, but you are a chosen generation. The word chosen, just for the record, that is the ekklesia, which means God's elect. So we are the elect generation of God because we have obeyed the calling. Now let's go back to Ephesians. And we're going to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 7. Well, we'll start in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I am accepted in the beloved, brethren. I want us all to say amen in our hearts. I am accepted in the beloved because of him and because he has set his love upon me. And I want to stop for just a minute and say, forgetting the things which are behind and pressing on to the things that are before, brethren, and I believe this is a word for you, Jeremy, forget the things behind. All of us, forget the failures of the past, pressing on under the things that are before, this great election, this great calling that is before us to be a part of God's completed man. Forget the things, all our failures, all of our wrong decisions and choices, and forget those things of the past. I am accepted in the beloved. Amen. And I'm going forward. And I'm not going to allow my past to hinder me. It is under the blood. Amen. Now, we go on. I'm sorry for the interruption here. Having predestined us. Okay, where were we? Okay. Okay, well, we'll go on in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood, beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us. Now, who is Paul talking to? Having made known unto us. Who is the us? Paul is talking to his generation and every generation to follow. This word is for you. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Do you see this, brother? We're talking about that generation, and if I could use the word, that 42nd generation of Christ that was in every generation from Adam to Enoch and Noah and Abraham and on. Christ, because, and I want us to, I want to remind us of this word where we started. God is in the generation of the righteous. Christ is in the generation of the righteous. And Christ was in every generation. And Christ is in this generation to bring forth his completed man. Now, to do that, look at it again. In verse 10, that in the dispensation, and how long is the dispensation? The dispensation is 6,000 years, of which God has a last generation that will complete what God began in the first Adam. He'll complete it in the second Adam, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. I don't know what to call it. I guess I'll call it a vision. But several nights this week, and as I was meditating over this word, I was in a place and I saw heavenly beings. There were heavenly saints, there were angels, and if I can explain what I saw, it was like they were encased in water. It was like, you know, people were, when you're in water, you're free and you just float and swim and do whatever. But it wasn't water. They weren't in water. But it was like they were in water, moving about. And it was the heavenly realm.
It was the heavenly realm. Brethren, if we could, something Daniel said at the beginning, the heavens rule, God's in control. But what God is first ruling over is the heaven in me. Because remember, there are heavens. And I think Brother Mark brought that out in one of his messages recently. Heavens. The generations of the heavens. So let us make it perfectly clear here. The heavens are working with us. The generations of the righteous that are in the heavens are working with the generation of the righteous that are here on earth. And they are learning as we are learning. Is that right, brethren? They're learning as we are growing and laying another stone, lively stone on the foundation. They're seeing. That's why we are working with the heavens. Now, a little challenge. I want to put out a little challenge here. Are we working with the heavens? It's a challenge, brethren. Am I working with the Spirit? Is the generation of the righteous that's in the heavens, are they seeing what I'm seeing? And are they saying, yes, amen. I see what you're doing. I see the burden of your heart, Pierre, to see your people in Haiti saved. You know, whatever your burden is, they're seeing it. And they're saying, yes. And they're seeing this last generation that's going to come forth in the, let me restate that. This last generation that is coming forth in the fullness of Christ, being diligent with what we have received. There's a certain diligence, brethren, that we must have concerning this word, this eklektos, this elect, this remnant, as Pierre said, the remnant. There's a diligence with regards to this word that we must have. Now, let me go to Revelation here. I'm not sure that we're done, but let us go Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was suffering. He was being tribulated on the isle of Patmos, and in his tribulation, he was in the heavens. You see that? He said, I was in the Spirit. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit. On the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. While John was suffering and in tribulation and being tribulated,
He went into the heavenlies. And what did he see? I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Verse 11 saying, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. He said, I am the first and the last. Now, if you permit me, I'm going to add one word. I am the first generation of the righteous, and I am the last of the righteous. Because God is in the generation of the righteous. Christ is in the generation of the righteous. The first generation of Adam, Christ, who do we think the tree of life was? And I had some kind of a thought. I was thinking on that tree in the garden. And the tree that I saw in my mind, massive tree that reached up to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? Christ is the bridge, the link between heaven and earth. And Christ has always been that link, that bridge in every generation. And in every generation, we got closer and closer and closer to the heavens. Do you see what we're saying, brethren? That's why it was such an abomination when Nimrod built that tower of Babel. It was such an abomination to God. They were trying to get there some other way. And let there be a warning to those in the church. The church is always trying to get there some other way. And the way to the completed man is in Christ and Christ alone. There is no other way. Let us go on here. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands. He saw the menorah with the seven branches. And in the midst of the seven branched menorah, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about his paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool and as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, and it burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. What John saw, John saw a vision of Jesus the Christ in his generation. And this is a prophetic word. Revelation is a prophetic book. So what God was revealing to us by his Spirit, that what John saw was Christ is not only in his generation, but Christ is in every generation to follow. And remember, Christ is in the first generation. I am the first and I am the last. Christ is in the last generation. Christ
is in our generation. We are in the generation that will bring forth the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Okay. I may come back to this, but let's go to Matthew 24. Just for a verse or two in Matthew 24. Hallelujah. And go down to verse 29. We're in Matthew 24. And starting in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Who is Jesus coming with in the clouds? Who is in the clouds? The righteous generation that are in the heavens. Hallelujah. We're not done with Brother DeSeal yet. We're not done with Brother Campbell yet. They're in the heavenlies. They're in that righteous generation in the heavens. And they're coming with Jesus Christ in power and glory. Where are they coming to?
Hallelujah. Where are they coming to?
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Who are the elect that he's gathering? The elect from every nation. You know, God has a remnant. I discovered something. God has a remnant in Haiti. Amen, Pierre. God has his remnant there in Norway and in Nigeria. Amen. God has his righteous generation all over the nations. And he's going to gather them together. And who's coming to meet them? The righteous generation that are in the heavens coming with Jesus Christ in all of his glory, in all of his power. And it's going to be a uniting. As we read there in Ephesians 1. The church that's in the heavens, the church triumphant, is going to come together with the church here on earth, the church militant. And we're going to be one church, one in Christ. Let me get down here. Now, he's going to gather to from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 31, now 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know it is near, it is even at the door. And I believe that, brethren. I believe this coming of Jesus Christ is so near, so at the door. Brethren, it's coming to fruition. And I believe in our generation. Verily. Now I'm going to see here if Matthew agrees with me. Verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. What generation? The last generation of the righteous will not pass away until that fullness comes. Everything is brought to fruition. 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, let's go back to Revelation. And I want you to go to Revelation.
Stay with me, brethren.
I want you to see this. Now, Revelation chapter 11, of course, talks about the two witnesses, the two olive trees, and how he's giving power to this last generation of the right. Verse 5. We're going to pick up the thought here in verse 5. Revelation 11, 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut the heavens, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have power over the waters, turn them to blood, to smite the earth with all the plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord is crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets which tormented them that dwell on the earth, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. What I would like us see here, what these two witnesses, these overcomers, this 144,000, what they represent is the last generation of righteous, of the righteous in Christ, that will get victory over death. There have been those that have been taken into the heavenlies. We talked about Enoch. We know that Elijah was taken. We know that others went with their body. But there has been only one that has resurrected from the dead, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous one, him and him alone. But God, and this is the testimony that they have, that was back in verse 7, he says, and when they shall have finished their test, what is the testimony? The testimony is victory over. Why? Let's see if we can put this together. God is in the generation of the righteous. Christ is in the generation of the righteous. Christ has always been in every generation. Christ
is in this last generation that will give up their life, lay it down, and pick it up again 3.5 days later. Why? Because he who is the resurrection, Christ Jesus, is in that generation. These people that I'm seeing here on my screen, you are in the generation of the righteous, this last generation, that the resurrection of the Christ within will overcome death. The last enemy to be overcome is death. Hallelujah. Brother DeCille so wanted to be here in his body to see it. Brother Campbell wanted to be here in his body to see it. But we are here, and we are going to see it. Now, I want us to see something here. In verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon them. Which the Greek word pneuma, which means breath, the spirit, the breath, the life of Almighty God was breathed into them, and they resurrected with their bodies. Got victory over death. Now, where do we see that? And God breathed into Adam the breath. I'm not sure of the Hebrew word there, if it's ruach, but it's unimportant. But God breathed into Adam that breath of life, and he became what? A living soul, a living being. And that same breath of life from Almighty God is going to breathe this breath into this last generation, and the last victory will be the victory over death. And this will be the testimony, the demonstration that Christ has finally come forth in all of his glory in the right generation, the last generation. And we know that that generation of the righteous will be made up of those in the heavenlies and on the earth. And this will start the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, Brother Daniel. The heavens rule, and God's going to demonstrate that the heavens rule to all the nations of the earth. Christ will reign. I believe you had it in one of your songs, Rita. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the omnipotent, doth reign. All right. Coming to a close here. I want you to go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and go down to verse 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you, we're in Acts 13:34. I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David
after he served what? His own generation, by the will of God, fell on to sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption.
David, his testimony was, he was faithful in all his generations. He was faithful in his generation. He had a testimony. He fulfilled his purpose. And he was faithful unto the end. He left a testimony for us. The last generation to be faithful unto the end. When is the end? I want you to go to Psalms 102.
Psalms 102. And verse 12. Psalms 102, verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto what?
All generations. Just what Moses said in Psalms 90. God was in every generation, and he wants every generation to remind the next generation coming. Thank God, Jeremy, you're the next, that next generation to carry on the testimony, you and Cody. He wants every generation to remember the great things God has done and will do.
Verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. God has a set time in the generations of the heavens and the earth. He has a set time when that last generation of the sons of God will come forth. It is settled in heaven that God has a set time to favor her. I believe God is giving favor to this generation that we can endure, because there are greater. When we talk about Matthew 24, we're talking about great tribulation, such as the earth has never seen before. But in it, God has a generation of the righteous that will come forth in his glory. We're almost finished here. Verse 14, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up what? Zion. And who is Zion? God's elect. That eklektos. God's eklektos. When God shall build up Zion, he shall what? Appear in his glory. Hallelujah. He shall, verse 17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written. Oh, my goodness, brethren. I hope you can see what I'm seeing. This shall be written for the generation to come. He's talking about our generation. Hallelujah. The last generation of the sons of God that are going to come forth, he's prophesying. That shall be written for the generation to come. And the people which shall be created and shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven. Did the Lord behold the earth to hear? Wait a minute. Please look at this with me. To hear the groaning of the prisoners, to loose them that are appointed to death. There's a groaning deep within the church. There's a groaning for the manifestation of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ to come forth. In this last generation, brethren, we are that last generation. And there's a groaning from beyond the veil. The cloud that's in the heavens are groaning. There's a suffering, persecuted church, Nancy, that you're faithful to pray for. They're groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God that will get the last victory over death, the last enemy to be defeated is death. Hallelujah. That's the generation to come, of which I believe that we are a part of that last generation. We're almost done here, brethren. To hear the groanings of the prisoners, to loose them that are appointed to death. I want to go to one more verse and then we're going to finish. Go to Psalms 24. Well, let's just read the whole psalm. It's a very good one of our favorites. It's a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Isn't that right, Daniel? The heavens rule. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah means think about it. There's a generation that are seeking what John saw. I was on the Isle of Patmos and I saw face to face Jesus Christ. His hair was white like wool. His eyes is a flame of fire. You know, I mean, that's what this generation, this last generation is seeking. We want to see his face. Adam saw him face to face. John saw him face to face in the heavenlies. Now, what is the admonition? What is the admonition to us today? To be partakers of that last generation of Christ to come forth in his fullness in power and glory to get victory over death. What is the admonition that God would say to us to be faithful?
Let's go on. Verse 7.
Lift up your hand, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory. What? He shall come in all of his power. He's admonishing us to lift up our heads. Don't be cast down. Don't be dwelling on the past. Don't be dwelling on your failures, your troubles. Lift up your heads. O ye gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall, he will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah, think about it. Who is the King of glory? Christ Jesus coming. Great power and glory. Say what you want from Rome, from the European Union, all of these little China, Russia, all of these little tiny. I'm so glad that you shared that, Daniel. The heavens rule. All these tiny little men that want to rule the world, they're going to find out that it's the King of glory, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and God has a righteous people, the generation of the righteous that are coming forth in his image, in his likeness, that are going to rule and reign with him. I want to leave you with this thought. Is Eden, the generation of the righteous. Christ is in the generation of the righteous. And I believe that we are that last generation that will see that great power and glory of Christ coming forth. In a people and through a people. Hallelujah. May God bless you. Amen.
God bless you, brother.